We're going to read the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labour of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Amen. And God will bless the public reading of his word to all of our hearts. We're turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Want to speak tonight on the subject of the power and effect of the gospel. The power and effect of the gospel. And first we're going to seek the Lord and ask his help in prayer. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We did never tire of repeating it, of preaching it, of telling it around. And O God, we pray that thou bless thy word tonight in this place. And may every heart be touched. May sinners be brought to Christ. May backsliders be restored. And may thy people be blessed. Lord, we do thank thee for the blessing of thy word. Lord, remove every hindrance. Help us, Lord, to be willing to let those hindrances go. And let us be in thy presence as those whose hearts are open to the word of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There are two fundamental questions that confront the Church of Jesus Christ today. Firstly, is the question, what is the gospel? And secondly, is the question, how should we communicate the gospel? The Apostle Paul in this first epistle to the Thessalonians is writing to a small church which has grown in stature and in the knowledge of Christ, and it's growing in influence as well, because its message is spreading not only in Thessalonica but throughout all of Macedonia and neighbouring Achaia as well. In the first chapter here, the Apostle Paul is outlining the effect the gospel had, and he is filled with thanksgiving for the positive effect that the word of God had in Thessalonica itself, bringing sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text here in verse 5 says that our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Notice the word gospel, and in the Bible it means good news. It is described as glad tidings in the scriptures as well. Even when we go back to Luke chapter 2, the angels announcing the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ to the shepherds on the hills of Bethlehem, they spoke in their announcement of good tidings of great joy. Good tidings of great joy. The word gospel is one of the Apostle Paul's favourite words. This good tidings was a favourite of the Apostle Paul. It is used over 70 times in all of his epistles, and in this particular epistle it is used 6 times. The word gospel. Paul was fond of the gospel. Paul loved the gospel. Paul loved the preaching of the gospel, and he loved to hear the gospel, and he loved its results when sinners were turned from darkness to light, and from Satan unto God, and from idolatry and false worship unto the truth. That rejoiced his heart. That made him glad and exult with joy, as it ought to do with the Church of Jesus Christ even today. And we're so glad when God moves and saves a precious soul and brings a sinner unto himself. And you'll notice the times in this gospel as you read it when Paul speaks of that very word. Verse 5, he calls it our gospel. In chapter 2, verse 4, he calls it the gospel. And in verse 2 of that chapter, he calls it the gospel of God. And in chapter 3, verse 2, he calls it the gospel of Christ. Oh, he loved this word. How then is this good news? It is the good news from God to sinners. That's why. It's the good news from heaven to earth. It's the good news from the Lord to sinners bound and fettered. The news that they can be saved from their sin, that the chains can be broken, they can enter into newness of life and liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. We were singing it. And he sets the prisoner free. And his blood can make the foulest clean. Maybe you've been a foul sinner. Maybe you've been a great sinner. And you're deeply grieved over those sins of your past life. Well, child of God, remember this. God has forgiven you all of them. Not some of them, but all of them. Even those that cause you the most torment in your soul and in your mind. God has washed them away. He blotteth out our transgressions as a thick cloud, never to be remembered against us anymore. Child of God, remember that. Your sins will never be remembered against you again. Because you're saved, you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you can rest assuredly, contentedly, in the knowledge that you're God's child. That's salvation. Is it any wonder Paul loved the gospel? Any wonder he loved to preach it? Any wonder he loved to see sinners saved? Because he knew that what God had done for him, God can do for them as well. And the very experience that Paul had on the Damascus Road, he knew that these sinners in Thessalonica had that experience too. And it thrilled his soul and it rejoiced his heart. The Bible tells us that all are sinners, all of us, by nature and by practice. And that includes all men, all women, and all children. Even the children are sinners in the sight of God. And thank God, he has been saving children in our children's work, in Sabbath school, and in Beeline. And we rejoice that though children are sinners, they can be saved by the grace of God, brought into the family of Christ, and be kept by the power of God. And we need to pray for them. And we need to pray that they'll be kept pure from the things of this world. This gospel is for all people everywhere. It's for you. It's for me. It's for everybody here in town. It's for all people. It describes us as having sinful hearts. Sinful, black hearts. It describes us as having darkened minds. Minds that are alienated from the Lord. It describes us as having rebellious wills. Stubborn. Resistful of the grace of God. Wanting to go our own way. This gospel is for people like you and it's for people like me. It is good news of how God has sent his Son to save the lost and the perishing from going down to a lost sinner's hell. What a gospel. That's the gospel. What is the gospel? The power and the effect of the gospel. Thank God tonight there's power in Jesus' blood. And the gospel is effectual to salvation to everyone that believeth. Thank God it is a message of hope for a hopeless world. It's a message of hope for a hopeless sinner. Maybe you felt or feel that you're a hopeless sinner. The gospel's the answer. Christ is the answer. He's the one that you need. It is also a message of peace with God in a world which is at enmity with God. And in such a world as we see it today, isn't it good to have this message? Having peace with God and the peace of God in our heart. That makes all the difference. It is also a message of the grace of God. That grace is God does not treat us sinful creatures what we deserve. But he gives to us what we do not deserve. That's what grace is. And thank God tonight those of us who are saved have received of his grace undeservingly, and yet doesn't he pour it out in rich measure, in abundance. I am come that ye might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Are you enjoying your Christian life? Are you filled with the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, and peace. Long-suffering and meekness and gentleness. Are these all characteristics of your Christian life, the one towards the other? Let the fruit of the Spirit be evident in your life. Oh, the power. Oh, the effect of the gospel. And having established what the gospel is, and our need of that gospel, and we do need it, we can also address the other question. How should we communicate the gospel? And this text tonight, verse 5 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, tells us. It says, this gospel comes in word. That's how it is to be communicated, in word. The preaching of the gospel. That's what's meant here. Our forefathers believed that the word of God was paramount. It was preeminent in the reaching of souls. Note, the word is not an inner voice. It's not dreams or visions. The gospel comes in word. In word. Remember that. This gospel is to be preached in all its fullness, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Words must be read. We read the Bible. We read words. Words must be spoken. But the word is important. The word of God in the church is preeminent. The word of God in preaching is preeminent. Our gospel came unto you in word. That's how the Thessalonians were saved. There were no gimmicks. It was the preaching of the word of God. And that's how God still works. And that's how God will work. Oh, we can get worked up emotionally. And we can think that a great work is going on. And we can be deluded. But the gospel came to Thessalonica in word. The preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May God help us to maintain that standard. The gospel comes in word. This gospel is to be preached. Words have to be given. And however gospel preaching goes, God has promised to bless His word. Preach the word, says Paul to his young brother Timothy. Preach, there will be instant in season and out of season. You'll notice he calls it our gospel. That's a strange phrase to use. Our gospel. Paul's gospel. We ask questions about that, don't we? Is this gospel Paul terms as our gospel is not just any gospel, in case we get carried away, but the apostle's gospel. It's Paul's gospel. What made it this? What made it Paul's gospel? This gospel had impacted Paul's life. So much so on the road to Damascus that it changed his life. It got into him. It became part of him. And he could rightly, therefore, call it our gospel, because it was a real part of him. You know, when we recognize that the gospel has become part of us, and is so immersed in our lives, we can truly call God's gospel our gospel, because we have come into possession of it. We believe it. It's in our heart. It's all through us. It's in our bones. It's in our belly. It's in our mind. It's in our heart. It's in our feet. It's in our hands. It's in our mouth. It's in our eyes. It's in our ears. Paul was so taken up with it that he could rightly describe it as our gospel. It wasn't any other gospel. He warns the Galatians that if any come to you preaching any other gospel than that which you have received of us, receive him not. And if any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Paul preached the truth. He was four square on the Bible and four square on the gospel of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And it was so much a part of him that he could call it our gospel or even my gospel. Tell me, dear Christian friend tonight, are you so taken up with the gospel and with Christ? Oh, you say he's my Christ, but is this your gospel too? Is it oozing out of you? Prick you and you'll bleed the gospel. That's what Paul is meaning here. Thank God the gospel came to him in word. It was the word of God on the Damascus road. He heard it and he was told it by Ananias. It was preached unto him and he was shown what he ought to do. And Paul obeyed the gospel and he was gloriously saved and he became a child of God. The gospel comes in word. But look at the verse again, and it says the gospel comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. The word power here in this verse 5 of the first chapter of Thessalonians comes from the Greek word from which we get in our English the word dynamite. Now we all have some idea of the power of dynamite. Most people have heard of the Nobel Peace Prize. Ironically, Mr. Nobel was the inventor of dynamite. And dynamite was used in mining and also came in time to be used in armaments and in war. And we have seen it in use, sadly, over many years in our province when the terrorists were wreaking havoc in our land. But unlike the explosive called dynamite that we know of, which is destructive and destroys, the gospel, on the other hand, is spiritual dynamite, which is constructive. It is constructive. Notice the contrast between Paul's use of the word power and the so-called television evangelists today. They boast about their power, the power of their television evangelism, power evangelism, power ministry, power preaching. And this is what they boast about. The emphasis is on the power that's in the men and the women who do the preaching. Whereas, by contrast with the Apostle Paul, the power is not in the evangelists themselves, but it's in the word that they preach. The Holy Spirit coming in great power upon the Word, making the Word powerful and applying it to the hearts of sinners and even to God's people. That's the difference. And that's what we believe in. And I believe that's the standard the Lord would have us to maintain. The power of the gospel. The gospel came in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we need today. Gospel preaching under the anointing of God, the Holy Ghost. We need the Word to be given in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That's what causes it to live. That's what gives it vitality. That's what gives it the dynamite spiritually. That's what awakens hearts. That's what turns sinners from darkness to light and brings them out of the bondage of sin. Oh, we need a move of God today. Today we live in an age that is in darkness, an age that is anti-God and anti-Christ, an age when men and women, young people and even children run on from day to day with no time for the gospel, despising the things of God. Visit our towns and cities, and we see it happening before our very eyes, even amongst the children, sad to say, having no time for the things of God. Oh, the need for outreach, the need for evangelists, the need for teachers and preachers to go and reach the lost for Christ. Preachers who are called of God, going forth armed with the Word of God, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost in their lives. Thank God they can be a force for good in the turning as instruments in God's hand of sinners to Christ. The gospel itself is the power of God. The seed that we handle, the seed we scatter and sow, is itself the power of God. It is. The apostle says elsewhere in Scripture that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. This gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is dynamite, spiritual dynamite. This powerful dynamite had not only changed the apostle, but he had seen it change the lives of many heathens in the city of Thessalonica. Those who were brought up in false religions, who adhered to mysticism and heathenism and all the rest of it, he saw them transformed by the power of the gospel, the anointing of God on the preaching of the word. Paul knew this by experience, this spiritual dynamite in his own life, and he saw it manifested in the lives of many in this city. The gospel was accompanied by power, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of the subject of the gospel, who is Christ? Christ is the subject of the gospel. And Him crucified, put to death upon the tree, slain for sinners, shedding His blood for men and women like ourselves. The gospel is Christ. And Christ, after His death and resurrection and ascension to glory, sent forth the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is in the world since Pentecost. And the Spirit of God is here. And He's here in power. And we need a fresh anointing of that power that was given at Pentecost. so that the gospel may run and be glorified along a highway prepared for it. Oh, what power and effect the gospel has. Has it had that power and effect in your life? I ask you simply, as I asked many a time, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Let me in closing say to you, the gospel comes in word, comes to you in power of the Holy Spirit, but look again, it comes with much assurance. Much assurance. Isn't that just wonderful? There is one more truth here, and that is just to dwell for a moment or two on this aspect of assurance. It comes with assurance. There is no doubt in Paul's mind of the effect of the gospel on sinners. When Paul preaches the word and those who are with him praying for him and supporting him and standing by him, when the word is preached, they believe in the effect of the gospel. And that's why they saw things happening. And if in our churches today, my preachers and people alike, if only we believed in the effect of the gospel, we would see much more happening as that gospel is preached. Paul had confidence in the preaching of the word. Not his ability, not in the gifts that he had, but he had confidence in the gospel, in the seed he sowed. And he knew it was the power of God, the dynamite of God, unto salvation to those who would believe. It comes in power and much assurance. The word here in the original could be translated entirely confident. Much assurance, entirely confident. We could read those words and they may interest us at the time, and soon they're in the one ear and they're out the other ear. But ask God to let it rest in your mind and in your heart. Much assurance, totally confident. Have you got that confidence in the word tonight? In the preaching of the gospel? It would appear that so many don't have confidence in the preaching of the word because they add so many gimmicks and innovations to the preaching of the word in order to get results. Oh, if only we got back to the plain teaching of Scripture, to the plain preaching of the word, with everybody, like those around the Apostle Paul, all believing it, oozing out of them, expecting with definite confidence, full assurance, the Lord to answer their prayers as they have earnestly prayed with strong cryings unto the Lord, that God would move in an age like our own, in a day like today, in a time of great spiritual dearth. God can do it, and God will do it, if he gets his people into the place where he wants them to be. Perhaps this has peculiar application for us today. And we ask the question, do we still have confidence in the gospel of God? Do we have confidence that the preaching of the plain, of the undiluted, of the unadulterated gospel still saves souls? Do we tell sinners the old, old story of Jesus and his love? Do we pray that God would open their blinded eyes? Do we unstop our ears to hear God calling us to a deeper consecration of ourselves, to prayer, to giving ourselves to the Lord? Do we pray that God would unstop the ears of the deaf, and that he would soften the hearts of the hardened, and that through the preaching of the gospel, men would be converted to Jesus Christ? Perhaps we need to pray more earnestly for a return to the Spirit-anointed, empowered preaching of the Word, and to seek the Lord's face for that anointing. Friends, we must have faith in the ordained way that God has planned for the building up of his church. We must have faith in that ordained way. Even though we ourselves might be the frail instruments, yet the Word is mighty. God is all powerful, and he has entrusted this task to us, that we might abide faithful in the days to come. May the Lord tonight give us that assurance. May he give to us that much assurance, as Paul describes it. May he give us that entire confidence, nothing doubting, going forward. Speak unto the children of Israel, God said to Moses, that they go forward. And that's the way for God's people. It's the way for this church. It's the way for me. It's the way for you. It's the way for all of us. Let's go forward at God's command. Let's pray together in a word of prayer. Our gracious and eternal God, we give thee thanks for the Word of God, for the power of the gospel, and for the effect of the gospel. Lord, we ask of thee that thou would give us a fresh outpouring and experience of the Holy Spirit, that we might know what it is to believe the gospel with much assurance, with total and absolute confidence, that thy word shall not return unto thee void. Lord, search out sinners tonight as they have heard the gospel. Search out backsliders in this meeting house. Let them have no hiding place. But, O God, let them be exposed to their sin before thee, and come in repentance, crying for forgiveness and cleansing, that they might know what it is to have that assurance of the gospel of Christ in their souls. Lord, we ask of thee to continue with us as we close our meeting by the singing of a hymn. Lord, arouse us, disturb us, we pray, and O God, move upon our hearts, and let this be a time of stirring even for us all. We ask it in Jesus' name, and we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.